Hello, and welcome back to another Truth from Pastor Vic's Nuggets. We've been talking about seeking the truth. And in my last message, I tried to focus on the importance of the truth about God. Now, it should be obvious that if you're not working or operating in truth, you're going to wind up going astray. It'd be like having a defective compass. You would never get to where you want to go. You see, God can only honor truth. And because we have so much information available to us, but the question is always, is what I believe or been taught true according to the Word of God? Simply because we have a lot of information doesn't make it true. Jesus has made it clear that he is committed to fulfilling what he has promised. No more, no less. You see, God will not violate his own principles for anyone's sake. One very simple thing to keep in mind is to ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do? Now, that may seem like a simple question, but it really is a doorway into finding out about the nature and the character of God. We need to be asking ourselves, what would Jesus do in this situation? You see, if we try to know and understand the character of Jesus, then we'll know what he expects from us in every situation. Quite frankly, often our response to life circumstances is centered on what we want instead of responding to what Jesus wants for us. Now, this may come as a shock to some, but Jesus does not exist for the sole purpose of making you happy. As a new Christian, it's normal to focus on what you need from God. But again, it's important to make the effort to grow up or become mature in Jesus Christ. Jesus gave us all so that we would become mature and become more and more like him. His plan for your life is to advance his kingdom and being a witness of him so that all may know about who Jesus is. In Romans 8:29, it says the following, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And then finally in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now, maturity is where we want to end up. It's a process we want to go through, and we can't afford to stay as babies forever. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 17, is speaking to the Corinthians who should be mature in Christ, but they have given no evidence of that maturity and their understanding. You see, they're still behaving in what he calls a carnal manner. In other words, they proclaim they are Christians, but they still behave as if they didn't know Jesus. Now, he describes these kinds of believers as babes in Christ. All Christians should desire to know more about Jesus, what he's done for us, and what we can expect from him. One of my favorite scriptures is seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. You see, the desired way in which to become mature in our relationship with Jesus is to follow his instructions. For instance, in Matthew 6:33, I just read that, or I just quoted that, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things, all the things that you need, will be added to you." Now, the kingdom Jesus is speaking of is a spiritual kingdom. And it exists on earth as each believer acts according to what Jesus has taught. Now, Luke 17:20 says, "Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said this." He said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation." It's not necessarily something you're going to see come down from heaven. But indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. And so when you do that which is required in the kingdom of God, that makes the kingdom manifest, and it makes manifest through you. You are his representative. Now keep in mind, the kingdom has a king, and the king is Jesus. He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. It says that in 1 Timothy 6:15, as well as in Revelation 17:14. He's the king. We don't have much experience with kings anymore, but you obey the king. Now, if you have him and he has you, you'll have everything. You see, we should be seeking his face, who he is, not simply his hand, only what he can provide. Now, we're going to take a moment to take a look at the Old Testament of law. All that Jesus has promised to provide for his people is dependent on understanding the great change from the Old Testament to the New Testament. You see, the New Testament is not simply an add-on to the Bible. It's not simply a continuation from the old. The New Testament proclaims there is a new way in which God deals with his people, his followers, followers of Jesus Christ. Now, as you know, the Old Testament from the book of Genesis to Malachi has to do with the creation and the formation of a group of people into a nation which was known as Israel. Now, the purpose of God's plan was to show the rest of the heathen, idolatrous world at that time, what a nation subjected to the one true God would look like. All the blessings and the benefits of being one nation under God. Now, the means by which God would teach his people about his nature and his character would be through something called the law. Now, God used Moses to bring his Ten Commandments to the Hebrews or the Israelites. The law was then the Ten Commandments and all of the religious and social rules and regulations found in the first five books of the Old Testament, which was known as the Torah or the law, which was written, as a matter of fact, by Moses. Now, here's a critical point that's so important to understand. The law that was handed down by God to Moses and was accepted, that's a key phrase, it was accepted by the people. They agreed that the law was good and that they would abide by the law. They would follow the law. This agreement meant that God and the people of Israel were in a covenant relationship. Such an important phrase, covenant relationship. Now, a covenant is more than a contract because God is one of the covenant heads. In this case, Moses was a covenant head too. And he represented the people. When God makes a covenant, he never reneges or changes his mind. Now, what's important about this covenant, the old covenant, is that it is a what's known as a conditional covenant. That means that God's response is based upon the people's obedience or disobedience to the law. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 28 really does spell out all of the blessings and the curses associated with the law. Now, I hope you can see the conditional distinction. God will bless as long as you keep the law. In other words, his response is based upon your behavior, your work, if you want to call it that. Do good works and you'll be blessed. Do evil and you will be cursed. So your relationship with God is conditioned upon your actions. Keep the law perfectly, and you would be in a perfect relationship with God. Now, in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, I should say, the way to restore a relationship with God when one sinned or broke the law was to repent and provide a sacrifice. And this had to be done time and time again because no one could keep the law perfectly. As you can imagine, living under the Old Testament covenant was a bit uncertain. You never quite knew where you stood with God. Now, what the Old Covenant or the Old Testament covenant proved, according to the New Testament, was that no one could keep the whole law. You break one part of the law and you've broken it all. James chapter 2 verses 10 and 11 states, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble or break in one point, he is guilty of all." For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you become a transgressor of the law. Now, for us as believers in Jesus Christ, we see something brand new in the New Testament. The gospel message of the New Testament is good news. And the good news is that as believers in Jesus Christ, we are no longer under the law. But a better way has been provided for us. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it states, for by grace, let me say that again, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Works, remember, works, that has to do with the law. The New Testament of Jesus Christ introduces a new or better covenant. As a matter of fact, the word better covenant is used 8 different times in the book of Hebrews. And this covenant, this new covenant, is very different from the old covenant in that the new covenant replaces, this is important now, the new covenant replaces the law with grace. Now, grace can only exist in an unconditional covenant. Remember, the old covenant was conditional. In other words, God's response was based upon what you did. But in an unconditional covenant, we see something brand new. In the new covenant, God the Father and Jesus Christ are the two covenant heads. And what's great about this is that neither the Father nor Jesus can fail. This also means that anyone who agrees with Jesus, who repents and believes, is a part of the new covenant, part of his family. Remember, just as the Hebrews who agreed with Moses were part of the old covenant. As Christians, we have a right to God's grace. Nothing can be added. When Jesus said, it is finished in John 19:30, it meant that Jesus did everything necessary to secure our salvation and our ability to become more than conquerors in this life. The only thing that God requires of us is to believe. And that's really what faith is all about. Believing not only in Jesus, but believing what Jesus said. Believing that Jesus provided for our eternity and that he had provided for the abundant life for the here and now. Now, I'm going to continue this in our next episode, continue on the subject of grace and faith. So until then, I just pray that you realize that by being a member, being a covenant member of the new covenant, that heaven is yours and his grace becomes available to you. It's no longer by your works or your good deeds, but it's because you're putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone. Amen. See you the next time.